Once we all stood as captive slaves, the bonds of sin and death our chains. But he with blood our freedom bought. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
The weight of sin, the sting of death, were swallowed up by righteousness, vanquished by the Son of God. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
Now we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished on the cross. And while our hearts have turned from sin, the flesh is waging war within. Though sin remains, our guilt is gone. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
His gift of grace my heart betrays, with urge to merit or repay. We need not live
to pay the cost.
It was finished
on the cross.
It was finished on the cross.
Now we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished. It was finished. Yes, it was finished on the cross. The cross.
Man, that's a great song, isn't it? Thank the Lord. Wow. How to wake you up on a time change Sunday. I am ditching my sermon this morning. Turn to Revelation chapter 9, and I want to talk to you for a little bit. It was a little bit quiet in here. I felt a little pushback talking about the marijuana dispensaries. It's not normal for a Baptist church. I ought to be a little bit upset. Instead of malaise, it's our problem. So, if I get in trouble, it'll be with the Lord. But I think I'm doing. I can preach this next Sunday morning. I can take the week off. I got next Sunday morning's message already penned. Already penned. So here we go. This is my notes for today. I like that. Wrote that down during the offering. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. Look down at, look at verse number 13, Revelation 9. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loose. Now, I want to take a moment to remind you that this is talking about what's happening during the tribulation period, okay? We will be in heaven. We, those of us who are saved, those of us who are born again, okay, will be in heaven with the Lord when all this is taking place. And I want you to drop down to verse number 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. God sends unbelievable, cataclysmic judgments on the earth during the tribulation period. And you would think that as these judgments were being carried out, people would go, oh my gracious, I got to repent and get right with God. Because it's not natural. What will happen is not natural. Over 25% of the world's population will die in one judgment. Over 30% of all the trees in the world will be destroyed in one judgment. So we're not talking about things that you and I have seen taking place here. We're talking about cataclysmic things that are only the work of God. Okay? And you would think they would repent. But they don't. They get their hatred is so full against God, they just get deeper and get more ugly. So the Bible says they repented not, that they should look at the middle, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Worship devils? Oh, that's already gaining in popularity. Already. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So let's pray together. Father, I'm just trying to follow your spirit this morning. I was a little bit disturbed that it seemed a little tight, talking about our opposition to a recreational marijuana dispensary opening, not in one place, but in two in our community. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. God, I pray that you'll help us to see this morning what this is all about in the Scripture. Help me. I am going directly under the control this morning. It's not been pre-thought out other than what I already know about the Scripture, what it teaches. So we need your Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, I pray in Christ's name, and amen. I want you to notice in verse number 21, the Bible's talking about this time of tribulation on earth. Saved people are in heaven. And God's wrath is being poured out on people, Christ rejectors, Christ haters that were left behind here. And all these cataclysmic judgments taking place, as I mentioned a moment ago, and nobody is repenting of their works, of their worship of devils and idols. And then John went on to say, neither repented they, the same group of people, of, and then he lists four sins. He says their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And people, even though these four sins specifically listed here are talked about as taking place during the tribulation period, we can see the seeds of their existence already bearing fruit in our society today. Now, I want you to look at chapter 9, verse number 1. Look what happens at the beginning of this chapter. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. This is the fifth, this is what they call a trumpet judgment, okay? So the fifth trumpet sounds, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and watch this, there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power, and on it goes to describe these creatures who came out of the bottomless pit. Now, more than like, most everybody believes that when this judgment comes upon the earth, when this angel is given the key to the bottomless pit and he opens up the door to the bottomless pit, what ascends out of the bottomless pit is all these fallen devils. They've been chained in the bottomless pit since they fell from heaven with Lucifer all the way back in the beginning of time as we know it. They've been in the bottomless pit. So what's going to happen here during the tribulation period is you're going to have this infestation of devils that are going to come on planet Earth. And they're going to get after the population of planet Earth. It's going to be terrible. You know, okay, gas is high and there's war in the world right now. But you think things are bad right now, folks. This is a cakewalk. compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation period. This is a cakewalk, okay? We're talking about unbelievable judgment, and one of those judgments is the infestation of devils on humanity, those that are living on planet Earth, and some of those people are going to worship devils, and they're going to be involved in these four, what you want to call it, major sins, these four types of sins. The writer of the writer of the book of Revelation, John the Apostle, wrote, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. We have the seeds of those already bearing fruit in the world pre-tribulation time. We got murders by the, how many? You say, I'm talking about how many babies are aborted a year. Millions of babies worldwide aborted. You say, that's not murder. I don't know what you're talking about. That's taking life. Last time I looked, taking life was called murder. That's what it's called. Okay? And here's what I'm talking about, folks. The sad part of this is when all this really got on its feet back in 1973, there wasn't the uproar from God's people that there should have been. And now we're living in a time when the dysfunctional has become common. It's not common for mothers to kill their babies. It's not common at all. I was watching a documentary this week on wolves with my grandsons there at the house, and how, you know, wolves mate for life. That'd be a novel thing for humans to try. They mate for life. And these wolves had these little pups and had them in the den buried, and a grizzly bear sniffed it out. And while the wolves, mom and dad, weren't around, he got in there, dug around till he got down deep enough, and he ate all those pups. And those wolves would come back every day to that den. They came back day after day after day after day looking for those pups. That's normal in the animal kingdom for a mother to care for her little ones. It's not normal for a mother or doctor to murder a baby. Okay, we're living with the seeds of these type, the fruits of these type sins in our country already. I'm not going to belabor that, but murders. You know, city of Chicago is a greater danger zone than where Dave Schrock lives in Belarus. Chicago has a higher crime rate when it comes to homicide than the entire country of Belarus. Maybe we should go live there. That's crazy. And that could be said about other cities here in America. A higher crime rate than some of the countries in the world. Murder is on the uptick. It's everywhere, all right? And then he says, let me skip over the word sorceries for a minute. And then he says, neither nor their fornication. They don't repent of their fornication. They have no morality whatsoever. Living in immoral sin. They don't get that right. I mentioned a moment ago, wolves mate for life. That's the way God has it established. One man, one woman together for life. We talked about that a couple Sunday nights ago, okay? I don't have to go into all that. Nor of their thefts. I used to wonder, you know, I could figure out murders, I could figure out sorceries, I could figure out fornication, but I used to wonder, what's he talking about when he talks about they don't repent of their thefts? What? And now today you've got all this identity theft. Somebody hacked my son-in-law's credit card a couple of weeks ago. He called me and was asking a few questions about it. How does that happen? Happens over the internet. Happens other ways. Thefts. We got a government full of thieves. That's what the taxes are, folks. They're thefts. Inheritance tax in Illinois, 48%. You work hard, you save some money for your kids and your grandkids. And Illinois says, you die, you give us 48% of what you work for. That's called stealing. When you take from one man what is not yours, that's called stealing. Okay? I can understand some that Jesus even talked about paying tribute to him. Tribute is due in the New Testament there when he was on the earth. I can understand some reasonable things to help for a fire department. I don't mind paying a few dollars for a fire department. I don't mind paying a few dollars for a police department. I don't mind that. There are honorable things, decent things, that for which we could be taxed. But this is not decent. I'm tired of paying for needles. I'm tired of paying for safe houses where guys can go and do their drugs. I'm tired of that. That's not what they're taking my money and your money that's rightfully earned and doing things with it that are unlawful. Unlawful. So that's the theft. Sorceries. It's an interesting word in the Greek language. If we need it, it's the word pharmaceutical. It's the word where we get pharmacy, where we get our word for pharmaceutical. It's the same word. It's drugs. Drug use. Legal and illegal. Drug use. I'm going to talk a little bit about marijuana this morning, but I just want to say this, folks. You know, there are a lot of God's people who haven't touched a marijuana, a cigarette, and I hope you never do. But, you know, if you're not careful, you get yourself hooked on legal drugs just as easy as folks that get hooked on illegal drugs. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. You don't want to get to the place as a child of God where you need a pill to put you to sleep and then a pill to wake you up. And I understand medicine is good and appropriate. They had apothecaries in Bible times. There was a need for it. It was right. And the truth of the matter is, you know, and I'm not a holistic medicine type guy, but there's a lot of natural things that are out there that are available that can really be a help to you. Some of it's preventative maintenance. Get on some good supplements. Get on some good vitamins. Eat right. And do that. Okay? And stay off those prescription drugs. And if you're having to take prescription drugs, I'm not nailing you this morning. I've had prescriptions I've taken. There's a place for it. But when they become a dependent, when that becomes a dependent chemical, come on now. You got to be careful about that, okay? And there are ways for God's people to get victory over that. But anyway, that's what he's talking about. They don't repent of their sorceries. Isn't it interesting that God ties drug use, illegal drug use, to sorcery, witchcraft? But that's what he does. And there's a reason for that. That's because your mind and my mind is a critical part of our being and how God created us. The mind falls in the category of the soul of man. Man is trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. The body is this body that I'm standing here in this morning, that you're sitting there in this morning. It's where the sin in our body resides. The flesh, the sin nature resides in our body. If you're born again, you have a quickened spirit. You were born into this world with a dead spirit. Dead spirit cannot communicate with God. Dead spirit has no relationship with God. That's why people who say, oh, don't worry about me. I'm on my way to heaven. I've believed in God since I was born. Impossible. It might be possible for you to believe in God, but you don't have a relationship with God, any fellowship with God, any communication with God with a dead spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. So you've got to have a living spirit. God is a living spirit. He's a living God. Your spirit has to be made alive. And that's what happens the moment a person who's a sinner knows they're a sinner, realizes they're a sinner, understands they have to pay for their own sin by being separated from God forever in hell, but has learned that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay their sin debt. And they trust in Jesus and boom, born again. Now, you don't feel the boom. But that's what happens. Your spirit goes from death unto life. As the Bible says, that we know we've passed from death unto life. That's what happens when you get saved. What part of me, what part of you passed from death unto life? I was 18 years old when I got saved. I was alive physically. What passed from death unto life was my dead spirit. My dead spirit was quickened. Was made alive. It was born again with new life from Christ because of what Christ did. So we're body, soul, and spirit. The soul is the part of us that where we think, we have our thoughts. It's the part of us where we feel and have our emotions. It's the part of us where we choose and make decisions. That's the soul of a person. And that soul is controlled and influenced either by the flesh or the spirit. They both want control of our soul. The flesh, my sin nature, wants to control my thinking, wants to control my mind, wants to control my emotions, wants to control my decisions. The spirit that's been given new life, that's alive in Christ, wants to control my mind, wants to control my emotions, feelings, wants to control my decisions. And Galatians tells us, and the book of Romans teaches us, that the flesh and the spirit are contrary to each other. They're at war with each other. What are they warring over? My soul. Your soul. They want control. They want dominance. You and I live every day with our thoughts either under the control of our flesh or of the Spirit of God. Our emotions live under the control of our flesh or the Spirit of God. Our decisions live under the control of our flesh or the Spirit of God. That's why, you know, there's this war going on inside of us. You know, sometimes people are a little bit confused about that. They say, you know, since I got saved, I thought, you know, it would all be over. I wouldn't have any more troubles, but I still find myself wanting to do some of the things that I did before I got saved. That's because when you got saved, nothing happened to your flesh. You got the same old flesh. They just sang about it, I think, in that song, The War. It's a war. For control. That's what it's a war over. Control what I think about. And here's why. Because what I think about will determine my emotions and influence my choices. I've told the story ad nauseum, but for sake of folks that haven't heard it, and folks that haven't heard this story, my brother Tom, who's now in heaven, when he was at home, after I left to go to, my parents got this little dog. And that's the problem right there. A little dog. This little thing. Sambo. And he ran around the house. And Dad made a door for Sambo so he could go out at night when Mother Nature called. Dad wouldn't have to get up. And I think Tom was still living at the house. Now, I think this is how it happened, but I have someone here who remembers better than me. And she can correct me if I'm wrong, but she'll have to do it after church. All right? So this is how I remember being told, because I wasn't home. But one day they heard all this racket outside, and they ran, and here is the Great Dane. Now, that's a dog. That's a dog, Great Dane. The neighbor's Great Dane had come into our yard, and Sambo was out playing, and the Great Dane was playing with Sambo. So far, so good. And my brother got very, very angry. He wrote a letter, and he said, you better keep your dog in your yard. If you let that dog out of your yard again, he comes over and bothers. I don't think he did it. He didn't do it in first person. He said, your dog is going to die. And he put it in the guy's mailbox. And now it's the middle of the night. All of a sudden, this racket from outdoors, And Dad got up, and he knew that the big Great Dane was attacking the little dog in the yard. And our back porch was kind of two sections. It had a screened-in section. Then it had an open-air section where you could grill, you know, and it wouldn't get on the ceiling and everything. So Dad runs out the back door, and he's in that screened porch, and it's dark, and he's looking at, am I right so far? He's looking out there, and to his shop, to his left, coming from that open-air patio, kaboom! He looks, it's my younger brother with a gun. In a residential neighborhood, he shot that dog in the middle of the night. And I guess it died. And Dad said, what are you doing? And he said, I don't know. And he went in, get in the house. And he sat down, you're going to go to jail. You just shot a gun in the neighborhood. You killed a dog. And Dad just goes off the rails on Tom. Now, you know, I'll tell you what happened, folks. He ran that through in his mind. I'm going to kill that dog. 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 And your mind influences your emotions, and it ultimately influences your choices. So what we think about becomes very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hold that thought right there, okay? What we think about is very important. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talks about Timothy's faith. Do you see verse number 5? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You know what unfeigned means? It means real. It means not fake. All right? So, Timothy, you got real faith. It was in your grandmother first, and then your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee up, verse 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, what's that? Mind. You know what the word sound means? It means disciplined. 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 Structured. Orderly. Sound mind. Well, I think what you better do is just have an open mind. No. No, 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 no. God's people are not supposed to approach life with an open mind. Because whatever I hear, I might start thinking about. And if I think about it long enough, it might affect my emotions. It might actually influence my choices. So I'm not supposed to have an open mind. I'm supposed to have a disciplined mind. Maybe I hear something, the Spirit of God says, no way. I put that out of my mind. I capture those thoughts that are in disobedience to Christ. And they go away from me. I ask God to tear down the stronghold. And that's exactly what happens in the soul of people who have an open mind. Satan has an opportunity to establish strongholds in your soul. I did not say he could possess a Christian. But he can influence a child of God. And he does so through strongholds that he develops and builds in our lives as we allow him by way of an open mind. Well, you know, maybe a dispensary for these people that are going to buy drugs. I need to have an open mind because, you know, this way it'll be legal. We can get tax dollars off of it and they don't have to do it behind doors in an alley somewhere. I can see the... No, 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 no. Oh, you don't have an open mind. No, you have a disciplined mind. You know what marijuana does? Marijuana opens your mind. I wish I had saved it. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, but there is a little publication that comes out by the name of, I think I'm saying this right, Imprimis. I think it comes out of Hillsdale College. Is that correct? Some of you nodding your head. Michigan. And I wish I had kept it. They did two of their mailings, two of their little pamphlets on the subject of this matter of legal marijuana. And they don't just write stuff. They do their research. And they had done research in all these cities where they had made marijuana legal. Recreational marijuana. Legal. Want a high? Just go to the store and buy it now. You don't have to go to the back alley. You don't have to do it under the table. Just go and get what you want. Buy yourself an ounce, a dime, a nickel. Get you a little baggie, jar. Smoke you a joint. They had done the research. They had done the research in these cities where they'd made marijuana legal. And the crime rate increased in every one of them. And hard drug usage increased in every one of those cities because marijuana is the gateway drug to all kinds of harder drugs. You don't need an open mind. You don't need a buzz. Well, That opens the mind. Give Satan all kinds of opportunities to influence. That's the last thing you need. God said, no, 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 no. You need a sound mind, a disciplined mind. When a thought comes in, the Spirit of God rises up inside of you and says, uh-uh, no, sir. Immediately, we need to ask if there's any chance that that thought will circulate in my mind. I need to ask God, please take that out of my mind right now. It's the same thing, fellas. Because every man in this room that has any kind of red blood flowing through his veins struggles with the seductive nature of women in this day and age. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. God made man to be influenced, motivated physically by what he sees. And when you're driving east on 80-94 here in Indiana, and you got billboard after billboard after billboard with scantily clad women and all this stuff on there, and that comes in your mind because the eye is a gate to the mind, and the thought began, no, God, this is not right. Take this out of my mind. That's 2 Corinthians 10. Bringing every thought into captivity. Captive it. Put it in prison. Don't let it circulate. I like what the saying somebody said. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Fellas, you let that thing circulate, it's on you. It's on you. And the same thing is true about an open mind, this mind that's just open when it comes to marijuana and openness, and we hear things and see things. And it's just, you know, there's no discipline structure to our thinking. And if we're not careful, it will influence our emotions and it will influence our decisions. And it's simply a gateway to a harder drug. It is sad when the dysfunctional becomes common. And the problem is the people who are now 70 and 75 and 65 were teenagers when the drug culture just exploded in this country. It would be very interesting to know how many of those legislators in the Senate and in the House of Representatives are on marijuana continually. It would be very interesting to know. Very interesting. Not uncommon at all for a professional athlete to be stopped and they find marijuana in his car. It's common. All you got to do is go visiting around here. What's that smell? How do you know? Well, Mike Bragg told me what it was like, so I just take his word for it. I'm just teasing. No, you know what? I'm ashamed. All I can tell you is this is the result of being a lost teenager and being a rebellious lost teenager. When I was a teenager, I smoked marijuana. I'm not proud of that. I don't know that I've ever said that from this pulpit in 31 years. And it never stops at marijuana. Never. Ever stops with marijuana. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God it was finished on the cross. That night, October 15th, 1975, after I got saved, God began to remove all the desire for those wicked, ungodly things. Removed it. God changed me. I'm thankful. I don't think that I've physically suffered the consequences of drug use. I'm thankful for that. I'm ashamed to admit it. But I was lost. And it wasn't because of my dad and mom. I'd been taught. It's rebellion. Rebellion. Devilish, fueled by rock and roll music. Rock and roll goes in, the drugs come out. The hippies descended on Atlanta, Georgia, like they did Haight Ashbury in San Francisco. They descended in Peachtree Street between 10th and 14th in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. They took up residence down there, took over the whole neighborhood. Drugs flowed down there like alcohol does. Just crazy. It's a horrible, horrible time in our country. Horrible time in my life. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. So thankful for the grace of God. It's kind of like, was it last Sunday I preached? Yeah, last Sunday morning I preached on the message that sometimes praying is not enough. And my mom and dad had been praying for me, but you know what? They figured that when the opportunity to take me to that home arose, guess what they did? They put feet to their prayers. And you think that was easy on them, dropping me off at a boy's home, going back home? I mean, in less than 24 hours, the decision is made, take Terry to this place. And they drop me off there. They go back home. Their relatives don't know where their son is. Where's Terry? They got to admit Terry's. You think that was easy on them? I appreciate so much they're willing to humiliate themselves and take me to a place where I could get help. My life was changed. And I'm not the only one in this room with a personal experience like that. There are other people in here not saved till later in life. And you use the same drug. And it had the same effect on you. Because it never stops with marijuana. Never. We want this in our community. So your boy gets to be rebellious one day, and he can just drive over here, 18 years of age, and buy himself an ounce of pot? You want that? I don't want that for my grandkids. I don't want that for your kids. I don't want that for the people who live around here who aren't even saved. That's the last thing we need to add to all the other things that we got going on in our community. We don't need a legal marijuana dispensary, much less two of them. And I was talking about it. It just got a little quiet. It got a little tense in here. And I'm thinking, what is going on? They will allow people to speak tomorrow night. If you sign up by a certain time, I'm praying about doing that. I have thoughts on what I would like to say. I'm finishing with this. You know that I call with Brother Woodard, either he calls or I call every Sunday morning before the service. We pray together. We pray for preachers. We pray for evangelists. And we talk about the week and everything. We just do that every Sunday morning. Been doing that for years. When I called this morning, he said, you're on the speakerphone here with Brother Jeff Farnham. I said, hello, Brother Farnham. He's an evangelist out of Ohio. He's preaching at Brother Woodward's today in their services. And Brother Woodward says, what do you got planned for this week? And I said, well, tomorrow night we're going to be at the Village Hall in Bradley because they want to have two legal marijuana dispensaries open here in our community. And I said, the guy says that he wants to open these for the betterment of all the families in Bourbonnais and Bradley. Brother Farnham spoke up and said, well, tell him it didn't help my family. Their son was 21 years of age, in broad daylight, driving a car normally. A guy high on marijuana, higher than a kite on marijuana, 60 miles an hour, blew the stoplight, and T-boned that man on the driver's side. 217 days in the hospital. When he's 21 years of age, now he's 25, he's still in rehab. When the police showed up to the scene, the guy was so high on drugs, on marijuana, all he could talk to the police about was, man, I need another joint. Man, I need another joint. I got to have another. He was out of his mind. Brother Farnham said, you tell him it didn't better my family. You think that was a coincidental phone call? If I speak tomorrow night, I'll use that story. And I will tell the people on the board of Bradley that if they vote for that dispensary, anything tragic that happens like that, that blood is on their hands. Now, we're not going to right every wrong in our community. We're not going to. But, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. There comes a time when God's people need to stand up and say, no, sir. No, sir. I would be embarrassed if churches had a greater percentage turnout than Faith Baptist Church does. Because there are people around the community up in arms about this. And they should be. They should be. So that's why I took the time to encourage you to go. That's why we don't need another legal drug that leaves people with a mind that's just open and out of their thinking. We don't need that. It's not pleasing to God. It's not helpful to mankind. And God's people should do something about it. That's what I felt led to tell you this morning. I'm thankful for His grace. Thankful. I got delivered. And so have many of you. That's what God's grace can do for a person. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here in the service and you listen to the verses and the things that I brought from the Scripture this morning and the Spirit of God was kind of working on your heart. Maybe you've been thinking in your heart this morning, you mean that man up there behind the pulpit had to be delivered from that? Yep. And so can you. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you born again? Do you know what that means? Wonder this morning who would say you say, Pastor, I'm like you. And not like you in the sense of maybe I did drugs as a teenager, but there is a time in my life when I know I got saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven, and I know it. And I'm thankful that I'm saved. If that's your story, if that's your testimony, can you just lift your hand in honor of that this morning? I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. May take your hands down. Is there one here this morning or more? You say, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't know where I'll spend eternity. I don't know anything about this being saved. I see your hand. Somebody else. I see a small child's hand as well. Somebody else. I'm not sure I'm saved. I would see a couple of hands. God bless you. I appreciate it. You can take your hands down. I appreciate it. Now, here's what we need to do this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A little child needs to talk to their parent, their grandparent. But if you're a teenager or you're an adult, you raised your hand just now, would you look at me? Just raise your head and look at me from where you're sitting. You don't know that you're saved. Most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're born again. We can have somebody take a Bible this morning and show you how to be saved. In just a moment, we're going to stand. People are going to be standing with their heads bowed and eyes closed. The music's going to be playing. And I just invite you to come. Just leave your seat. Come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You're here for a reason this morning. God did all this for a reason. Would you please come and let somebody show you how you can be saved? I'm going to pray that you'll do that. If you're here this morning, you need to be baptized in obedience to Christ, then you step out and come. Some already have. Maybe you're a child of God this morning, and that whole business of the sound mind, that mind that's disciplined. Fellas, how is your mind? Ladies, a lot of anxiety. Nervousness is brought on by undisciplined minds. I wonder this morning if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart about that. It's not marijuana usage. It's just allowing thoughts that have no place in our thinking to find ground and wreak havoc that God doesn't want. Maybe my thought life, your thought life, needs to be brought under the control of the Spirit of God. That's what He talked to you about this morning. Just obey God. Father in heaven, I've tried to follow your will this morning, tried to follow the leading of your Spirit. I don't think this has happened more than three times in 31 plus years. So I felt it was of you this morning. And Lord, of course, I pray for our community and I pray for that board that they will vote against this. And Lord, I pray for people in this room who don't know for sure they're going to heaven. I pray for unsaved people to be drawn to Christ this morning. I pray for those, Lord, who need a disciplined mind, a structured thinking. I pray for them to respond, just that your Spirit would have his way in our midst today. That is my prayer. Oh, God, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to stand together with no one looking. Let's do that now. That lady begins to play. If you need to be saved, now is the time to come. Would you step out and come? Would you do that, sir? Would you come this morning? I can't drag you down here. I won't do that. But I would invite you to step out and come this morning. Learn how you can trust Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure that you're saved, you're a young person, would you come? If you need God to help you with your thought life, maybe come this morning and ask God to help you control your thinking. It's a war. It's a fight. It's a battle for our soul. The flesh and the spirit war against each other. And we need to yield to that Spirit of God. Yield to that Spirit that's been made alive. Yield to that. If you're not sure that you're saved, that's my goal this morning, is to help you come. Somebody show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you do that while we wait? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Some are praying. We have time for you. Would you come?